We thank you again for tuning in today. We're going to begin reading in chapter 13 of Revelation, where we left off last week. The last three verses, 16 through 18. And these three verses are critical to understanding honestly how deplorable and how horrible it's going to be in this world when Satan is allowed through the Antichrist to have dominion. Now, let me say this. He's allowed. It isn't because he's earned it. It isn't because he's won it. He is allowed as a form, and honestly, he probably doesn't even realize this, but as a form of God's judgment upon this world. This world is going to go through judgment for 7 years, a great tribulation. And it's going to be horrifying. And I'm so glad, as a Christian, that we're not going to be here. He's going to take us out. But we're going to see what's going on so that, how does that benefit us as Christians? It benefits us by giving us an urgency to tell people around us to let them know that this is the day of salvation. This is the time that they ought to turn to Christ. So, beginning Revelation chapter 13 in verse 16. If you'd like to stand in honor of God's Word wherever you are, that'd be awesome. Verse 16. Speaking about the... And we went through the false prophet last week. This is who he's talking about. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Let's pray together. Father, again, I just thank you for the opportunity to get into your Word, to read it, to study it, to understand it, so that, Lord, we can know you better. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us today as we go through these three verses of this passage to understand better what's coming so that, again, it will give us the urgency to do what you called us to do. We really ought to have that urgency already in our hearts. But many times, the cares of this world seem to become more important, or the things that we think are important become more important. But Lord, nothing is more important to you because of your great love for people than seeing them come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So Lord, I pray that you will put that upon us today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of speculation, by the way, what this mark of the beast is all about. There's also much information, misinformation concerning the subject. These verses give us some of the information that we need to understand just what the mark of the beast is. We won't learn everything that we would like to know, but we will learn enough to know that no Christian in this world right now needs to be afraid of the mark of the beast. Now, I remember as a teenager, my pastor went through the study of Revelation with us, and it was a little bit frightening to me to think that I would be forced to take the mark of the beast. The only problem is that my pastor never told me that I wouldn't be going through that because there's a rapture that takes place before that. So I was really worried about doing that because you will have to literally say no to not take the mark of the beast, and that's going to put you in a category that you won't want to be in to survive. But needless to say, this is all going to happen in the midsection of the tribulation when the false prophet lifts up the Antichrist and the Antichrist moves into the Holy of Holies. And at that point, every person is going to have to decide, am I going to call the Antichrist Lord? By doing that, I'll get the mark of the beast. You don't get the mark of the beast by applying online. You don't get the mark of the beast by filling out some kind of a form. You get the mark of the beast one way only, and that's by proclaiming Him, the beast, the Antichrist, as God. Now, of course, any believer who's alive during those days, the 144,000, the ones that have been saved during the first 3.5 years, the people who already know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they'll have to make that decision. Would I do that just so I could live? I pray that I wouldn't, because Jesus is my Lord. Satan's not my Lord. This world is not my Lord. You know what? More and more I think about how awesome it's going to be just to be able to be with the Lord. So, man, if you're going to take me out, but you're not taking anything away from me. You're giving me freedom. And I look forward to that day. But anyway, we're going to begin by looking at verse 16. It says, the false prophet, he also forced that word, see that word forced? It's literally, you have to do this. He forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Now, I was reading through an article this week, and it just reminded me of all the stuff that's going on, and I thought I would read just a little bit of it. Now, I know you probably don't like to be read to, but just think of it as being bedtime and you're a little kid, okay? Hopefully it won't put you to sleep. There's been much speculation concerning what the mark of the beast might be. Some believe it might be some sort of barcode system that's tattooed into your skin. People will then have to scan their code to access their money, to buy and to sell. Laser tattoos can also be produced that are invisible to the naked eye, but which show up under ultraviolet light. Scientists have developed tiny microchips the size of a grain of rice, and these chips can carry all of your medical, financial information. They can be read with a simple scanner. These chips are already being used in pets. And there's talk of placing these microchips in babies to prevent kidnappings and mistakes at the hospital. It's possible that the technology of this nature could be used to fulfill this passage. It's also possible to place GPS transmitters in chips the size of a jelly bean. With these transmitters, people could be tracked regardless of where they are in the world. Now think about this, folks. 20 years ago, none of this could have happened. None of it. Now it can. Of course, technology has advanced to the place where people can be instantly identified by scanning their fingerprints, by looking at the retina of their eye. There's even facial recognition that can determine who you are. There's no place to hide. There's no way, nowhere to run. We are literally living in a time where everyone's going to know about everybody else. There's certainly enough resources available during this day that we're looking at for these things to take place. And on top of that, the use of plastic currency is quickly replacing cash in standard business transactions. Even now, with this coronavirus, some places you go to will not accept cash. Now, for those of you that are like me who've grown up in a system where cash was basically all you had, and even then you didn't have that much, but that's all you had. But right now, most people are having to pay with their debit card or their credit card. And by the way, that's not too difficult to track. Again, if the mark of the beast may actually be used through a credit card system of some sort, as some have speculated, but I don't know how that meets up with the forehead and with the right arm. But the bottom line is this, the technology is there. Whether you like it or not, we have all been reduced to a number. Everywhere you go, you need your Social Security number or your driver's license number. It's already this way in Sweden and in Israel. Everyone has a number. Computers like numbers better than names. You can be sure that computers will be involved with whatever system the Antichrist devises, and the stage will be set and the minds of the people will be prepared for some system of public identification. Now, why would he want this to happen? So that he can be in control. That's what Satan has always wanted, is to be in control. He has always wanted, since his fall, to be where God is. And so now he believes he has dominion over this world, and now he believes that he can put systems into place to take care of knowing where everybody is and what everybody is doing. And those who do not line up with him and confess to him that he is God, they'll be taken out. Or they will waste away because of starvation, because they can't buy or sell. Or they'll have to hide away in places. The scripture even talks about hiding in caves and hiding themselves, trying to get away from all of this stuff. But folks, there's, with technology the way it is now, and with the way it's going to continue to explode, there will finally be a place that there's nowhere you could hide. So now we're going to work through this, beginning verse 16. The mark of his identification. First of all, we hear this word mark. Literally, it means something that will show to explain who you are. Now, let me just stop there for a moment because I thought this was interesting. Is there a mark on you that shows people that you're Jesus's? That you belong to Jesus? Is there a mark on you? We know that Scripture tells us later on in Revelation that we will be given a new name, and the name will be written on our forehead. Isn't it just like Satan to try to mock and double up on what God's saying? But what is it about you that would draw people to Jesus? What is it about me? I believe it's all right here in your countenance. It's all in what people see right here. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I remember as a little boy growing up in church, I used to think that if you were going to be a member of the church, you had to wear a black suit and a tie and look grumpy. And my best friend in the ministry said, and marry an ugly woman. But I didn't say that. I mean, I used to think it was, you're giving up everything to be a part of the church. Folks, we don't need to be grumpy. We don't need to have a sad face on our countenance. We need to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Do you believe that? I mean, I believe that. And when people look at us, they don't need to see us. They need to see the joy of the Lord exuding from our countenance. You know, when Moses came down from being with God, they couldn't even look at him. Now, I have that problem for a different reason, but they couldn't even look at him. They thought, man, his face is shining so bright that we can't even fix our eyes on his face. And Moses, when he realized that, started covering his face so that the people could still look at him and hear what he had to say as he was telling them about the law that God had given him while he was on the mountain with him. Folks, we ought to have the most shining countenance of any people in the world. And yet I still see people walking around, well, woe is me, I can't hardly get through this day. Boy, can let me tell you about all the struggles I've been through. I don't want to hear about struggles. I want to hear about how did God help you through that? How is God doing something in your life today? But this will be a mark of identification. I want you to see the scope of this mark. It forces all people to receive a mark. Now, folks, I don't know if you understand this or not,
But the only way that you're going to exist and survive when this happens is to take the mark. So you're going to have to choose, now, not us, because hopefully all of the ones I'm speaking to right now know Jesus Christ. If you don't, I'll get to that at the end. But listen to me. God's message is so clear and so true. This is going to force all people to receive the mark. Every person, no matter of their position, their state in life, are going to have to take the mark. By the way, this will be the very first time that celebrities don't get an out. Yeah. Isn't it crazy how they don't have to abide by all the rules? You know, I'm just amazed at how people put celebrities on a platform and say, man, that person is so awesome. But then you know what they stand for and you think, wow, they're really not that awesome. I mean, just because they say a few lines in a movie, they're important? Just because they catch a touchdown pass or throw it, they're that important? Not really. Doesn't make them more important than anyone. It doesn't make them any more important than that person that you pass on the street who's got their hand out and a sign in their hand that says, I need help. So this world is finally going to be brought to the base zero point where everybody's going to be the same. Every person is going to have to decide to receive the mark. It's going to be a universal mark. It's not just for the United States. It's not just for Israel. It's for everyone. That's the scope of this mark. Now I want you to see, secondly this morning, the situation of this mark. It's going to be either on their right hand or on their foreheads. The word mark in Greek means a stamp, an imprint, or something carved. Literally, it's going to be in such a place where if it was on your forehead, you walk through a scanner, you don't even have to stop. It's kind of like at the airport. If you put everything on the conveyor belt and you don't have any metal on you and you walk through that scanner, nothing happens, right? So unless you have fake knees, which I do, and it still goes off. Knee replacements, it still goes off. But the fact is that it's going to be something like that. And it's what a great place to have something right here so that every place you go, it picks up. I mean, if you had it on your right hand and your sleeve was over your right hand, or you had gloves on that day because it was cold, it would be harder. But it's either going to be on the forehead or on the right hand, the scripture says. But whatever it is, whether it's a visible stamp or it's an invisible, as we looked at a minute ago, or it's a microchip or whatever it is, it's going to be permanent and unalterable. Think about that. In fact, you can't say, yes, I worship you, Antichrist, so I can get my chip just so I can keep buying stuff and selling stuff and accessing my account, but I didn't really mean it. You won't be able to say that. Because once you have it, it's there. And you've made a choice that living the physical life in this world is more important than your relationship with God. You're making a choice. Can you believe that? Can you imagine people doing that? It's going to be a tough day. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a place where it's going to be easily seen. In other words, you're not going to be able to hide it. You're not going to be able to hide from anyone at this point. We've also always thought there's things that we could hide, right? Things that you don't want people to know about, things that you've got that you don't want people to find, whatever. You always think you can hide something. But this will be a time when nothing's hidden. It's all going to be laid bare. The source of this mark. The false prophet is going to be pushing this agenda for the Antichrist because it's going to tie in to his one world religion. In other words, once you proclaim that the Antichrist is God, you are now a part of that religion. And the false prophet is going to preach it and preach it and preach it until people believe that's the only way. But the fact is, all Satan is doing is deceiving people like he's always done. He's lying like he's always done. Jesus said, you're the father of lies, and when you lie, you're speaking your native language. How would you like that said about you? I wouldn't like that, would you? And yet, people are going to be so deceived, so enthralled and enhanced, they can't get past the fact that they think the Antichrist is God. In fact, many people are going to believe that this is the Messiah who's come. You know why? Because that's what Satan wants them to believe. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. If you want life, if you want to keep living, you got to take his mark. How horrible is that going to be? He will see that his marking system is carried out, and in many ways it will be the outward sign of the heart that is given over to the evil one. The outward sign is the mark that you said, I trust in the Antichrist. And they will wear the mark as a symbol of their allegiance to and worship of the Antichrist. Folks, this is going to be a tragic day. It's going to be a tragic day for all this world and for every person that lives in it. So, it's going to be a mark of identification. It's also going to be a mark of isolation. Look at what it says in verse 17. So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name. The power of this isolation is going to be staggering. The mark's going to be tied to the economy. It's going to be tied to everything you want to buy and sell. Nobody's going to be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark. And you say, well, is that really important? Yeah. Everything you need, you either have to buy or sell it. I mean, unless you've hoarded things for 73 years that you think you can live off of, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to determine whether you're going to buy or sell and whether you're going to take the mark. In order to hold a job, to get credit, to access your bank account, to do something as mundane as buy a loaf of bread, will require a person to have the mark. And by the way, folks, listen to this. This is going to be so encompassing that even little children and babies are going to be marked, even before they confess the Antichrist is God. They're just going to grow up believing it. Because everybody has the mark. And so this must be the way. Now, I'm a little amazed at the fact that I've seen movies about people who have never been introduced to who God is, and they live in a colony or they live in a place where all they know is what they've heard, and so that's all they know. And so they believe that their God is that statue that's in the middle of their village, and that's who they worship. And that's why God has called us to go and to tell the good news that God is not a statue. He's not an idol. He's not something made with the hands of man. He's real and he's alive. But these little ones are going to be brought up believing that the Antichrist is God. Truthfully, this mark is going to divide the world into two camps. One very large camp, those people who take the mark so they can physically live. The mark of the beast will declare who worships the Antichrist and who does not. It will prove to be a mark of isolation. Those people who do not take the mark, they're going to be isolated. Both socially, you won't have anything to do with them. They don't have the mark. They'll also be isolated physically because many of them, because they do not have the mark, will be hunted down. That's the power of this isolation. The purpose of the isolation is the Antichrist is going to use the mark of the beast to control the world. Make no doubt about it. That's what Satan has always wanted to do, is to control the world. He desires this greatly. Food, housing, medicine, medical care, it's all going to be dispensed only to those who have the mark of the beast. Now, can you imagine someone who's hurt in a car wreck and they're rushed to the emergency room and they bring them in and they need life support and they look at them and say, don't have the mark, let them die. Let them die. Somebody realizes that they have an infirmity that's going to ultimately kill them. Maybe they already had cancer before all this mark started happening. And there was one way through a new miracle drug that they found that they could get relief and maybe have healing from cancer. And they'll say, no, not you. You're not eligible. You don't have the mark. This mark is going to give the Antichrist instant power over every person everywhere in the world. I like what W.A. Criswell says. He tells of a man who lived under Bulgaria's communist regime. And this man said, you cannot understand and you cannot know that the most terrible instrument of persecution ever devised is an innocent ration card. You cannot buy. You cannot sell except according to that little innocent card. If they please, you could be starved to death. And if they please, you can be dispossessed of everything you have. For you cannot trade, and you cannot buy, and you cannot sell without permission. Folks, that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be a horrible, horrible time. And the purpose is to isolate the two camps. Thirdly, let's see the persecution of this isolation. Those that refuse the mark, those who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and who won't bow down to the Antichrist and won't worship the Antichrist, they're going to be segregated. They're going to be literally isolated. And hope by the standards of the people alive today, hopefully they're going to be eradicated. Now, would people really hate people so bad that they'd want to eradicate them? Seems like that's happened before. Why don't you ask the Jews about what Hitler thought? In the Holocaust, they were put into these tiny little cells, packed in there where they couldn't even sit down or lay down. And they had to be there with no food and no water. And ultimately taken and put in a gas chamber and killed. Now, what you may not know about the Holocaust unless you do further reading on it, the Nazis thought it was so great that they were doing this that they would literally skin the people and use their skin as leather for goods. They were just an animal to them. Those that refuse the mark and refuse to worship the Antichrist are going to be eradicated. All who've accepted Christ after the rapture and are still alive will suffer greatly for that decision. That's why I'm telling you, folks, if you don't know Jesus right now, Today is the day of salvation. Why? Because it could happen today that Jesus would come back. And once that happens, the great tribulation starts into motion. And if you don't die because of all the other things that have happened in the first 3.5 years, you will be facing this. Many will starve or die from no medical help because they can't buy anything and they can't get any medical help. So it will be a mark of isolation. Lastly this morning, look at what it continues on to say, verses 17 and 18. So, no one can buy or sell unless they have the mark, which is the name of the beast, the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it's a man's number. His number is 666. Now let me tell you something, folks. If you can't tell the difference between God and man, we're in trouble. There are a lot of people who say, oh, well, you know, God's just up there and he's just kind of watching over and he'll do what he wants to do and it's not that, you know. But how could you have a relationship with him? There's some people who say, there's not really a God anyway. That's just all made up. It's been around forever and ever and people try to make you believe it because you have a weak mind. I'm telling you something. You got the weakest mind if you read this and don't believe it. Because every single person knows down deep in their heart there's a God. You're born with that. I've told people all my life because it's true. I have never met a young child who doesn't believe in God. I never had a 6-year-old come up to me and say, there's not really a God, is there? No, there's not really a God. No. You know why? Because it's born. They're born with that. They know that there is. If we didn't know that, then how would we know the difference between right and wrong? Well, that's what the world's trying to tell everybody now. There's really nothing right or wrong. It's all up to you. You can choose. What I might think is right might not be what you think is right. Folks, there's a standard. There's a standard in everything that we do. You might be driving along the road and think, well, you know, I don't think it's right for them to put a red light up there, so I'm just going to keep going. Guess what? You'll pay the price. Because there's a standard. You don't run the red light. First of all, you get a ticket. Second of all, you might have a wreck. You know, you might get away with it one time. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up to you. So it reveals this number that it's talking about here in verse 18 reveals the name of the beast. We are told this mark is tied to a number that is this, and that this number is tied to the name of the beast. Now people have been trying for a long time to try to figure out who that's going to be. Who's the Antichrist? You know, and for many years people thought it was Gorbachev because he had that mark on his head and they thought, well, maybe that's the mark it's talking about in Scripture where he had this wound on his head and then he came back alive. You know what? It's not Gorbachev. It's probably not anybody at all that we know about at this moment. Because this person's going to come along with ideas that we've never heard. Of course, we won't hear them. We'll be gone. But this world has not heard. He's going to come along with what such great charisma that people are just going to follow him. He's going to be the most charismatic person that this world can comprehend. And man, he's going to sweet talk them into believing everything he says. The beast's name, when it is known, will yield the number 666. Now people, again, have gone through trying to figure out who that is. And what does 666 mean? Does that mean it has 6 letters in his name, like Adolf Hitler, or does it, you know, you could go through all these names and try to figure out what this 666 means. But the numbers in Scripture specify, they're very specific, and the number 6 in Scripture stands for man. Of course, it's one number lower than the number for God, 7. 7 means complete. 6 means not complete. Guess what happened in the garden? The two people that were living there, Adam and Eve, were sevens. They were allowed to be in the presence of God until that day that they chose sin over God. They chose self over God. And when that happened, what happened? They got kicked out. And sin has been here ever since. So, look at this picture. It's not too difficult to figure this out. 666 is literally the picture of sin, sin, sin. Sin in Satan. Sin in the Antichrist. Sin in the false prophet. Because it's one lower than God. Lucifer, who ultimately became Satan when he was kicked out of heaven, wanted to be a seven. But he wanted to be the seven. And he was cast out of heaven. And so now, this picture is six. Ultimately, the beast will be man's attempt to be like God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit would be a perfect 777. But Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet would be a fallen 666. It reveals the name of the beast. It also reveals the nature of the beast. Since man is fallen because of sin, this unholy trinity will be fallen times three. In other words, the sin of man will not even compare to how bad the sin of this unholy trinity will be. Because life will mean nothing to them. Nothing. Now, there's a lot of people, you know, parading around right now saying they care for people and they care for the planet, but they're the same people that say, hey, it's okay for abortion. They're the same people. Now, how could you be the same people who say, man, we don't want to have fossil fuels anymore. We don't want to have this and that because it's ruining our environment and the climate change is going to be so bad. How could you be that person and then say, but let's kill babies before they're born? Because it's the mom's choice. Guess what? It's the mom's choice to kill her kid after they're alive. After they're born, right? By the way, they're already alive in the womb. They've already been knit together by our Heavenly Father. But it's still their choice after they're born. Why is it killing them after they're born and not killing them before they're born? Is it location that makes a person alive? No. But people don't think that in that way. People want to think the way they want to think. His number will reveal that even though he's ruler for a while, he is still imperfect and flawed. Folks, I want to say something to kind of close this up today. There are some terrible days coming on this earth. The devil's going to have free reign for a period of time. God's allowing that. And billions of people will be brought under his grip for time and eternity by the choice that they make. Every person who takes the mark and worships him will seal their fate forever. Now, if you're hearing me today and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, you've made the best decision that you will ever make. Not only because you have eternal life with him in heaven, and that's going to be awesome, but also because you don't have to go through this. That's not the main reason you should accept Christ, but it's a reason. And you might say, well, Pastor, how do you know that's really going to really happen like that? God's Word says so. It says so. You see, it's not something that somebody came up with in their attic or their apartment or in their basement or whatever else. thinking that they're going to come up with some kind of major scheme that will sway people to... It's not... Listen, it's God's Word. Every part of it is true. Every part of it. It was written over a period of 1,000 years by 600 different people. I mean, listen, folks. This is God's Word. And I believe every single bit of it from in the beginning until the very last verse. Which, by the way, says anyone who adds to this or takes away from this is in facing damnation. Listen, God's Word says these things will happen. These things will come true. Now, I don't know about you, but if I didn't know Jesus right now, I would think hard about giving my life to Jesus. But not only for you, what about your family? What about your children? What about the people that you know? They're living life every day like nothing else really matters except meeting their bills, buying their toys, doing what they want to do. That's all they really think about because they think that's life. But it's not life. It's death. Because we'll all come to that point of physical death. We will all. The Scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. It's going to happen. Unless right now you're a Christian and you get to live long enough to see the rapture happen, and that's what I'm banking on. That's what I want. You know, of course, it doesn't matter what I want. What really matters is this. What does God already know? And He knows this. I love this world so much that I was willing to offer myself up in the form of Jesus Christ and come to this earth and live and teach and heal and meet needs and share the good news and then to be butchered and beaten and crucified. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I can't even comprehend what it's like for God to look down upon that cross and see what the world was doing to Jesus. But you say, that's horrible. You know what was more horrible? That He had to bear my sin. That He had to bear your sin. And the sins of the whole world, the Scripture says. 1 John 1:20 says, not only did He die for me, He died for the sins of the whole world. He died for you. How can I look upon the face of Jesus and say, no, I don't need you. No, I don't want you. Every person has a choice. And there have been many people who've chosen no. But what other people have done and what they haven't done doesn't determine what you do. If God's Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, let me please beg you today. Beg you today. I would do anything to be able to make you accept Jesus Christ, but anything I could talk you into, somebody else could talk you out of. So I'm just telling you the truth, according to God's Word. That if you'll confess your sins, He'll be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Are you willing to do that? Well, would you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. I thank You so much that You allow Jesus, even though as horrible as it was, to take my sins and pay for them upon the cross. And every person who's ever lived and ever will live can come under the atonement of Jesus. They'll just confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. See, it's just like the evil one to try to mimic what Jesus is doing. Jesus does have a mandate. Come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But you got to come to me. You've got to trust me. You've got to give me your life. That's his mandate. The Antichrist will have a mandate of, if you don't take the mark, you don't get to eat. You don't get medical help. You don't get to do anything else except die. So if you come to Jesus, you get life forever. If you come to Satan, you get death forever. Eternal death. Death that's so bad you can't really die, but wish you could. That's what you get. You have to choose. And nobody can choose for you. Everybody has to make their own choice. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray today, whoever is listening, no matter where they are, no matter how long they may have been a member of a church or not, no matter how much they think that God is not really real, maybe it's today that you by your Holy Spirit would draw them by your Holy Spirit, you would convict them, and that they would understand that you are real. And that you love them so much that you don't want them to be cursed forever into the pit that was made only for Satan and his demons. But they'll be there as well, taking punishment for eternity. Now, anybody in their right mind, Lord, couldn't rightfully say, yes, I can't wait to be punished for eternity. Because that's what hell is. Father, I pray instead they would turn to you. Turn away from this world's advice. Turn away from what all the so-called people who are in the know give advice about. But instead they would turn to you and to your word and to what your word says. And they would give their lives to you. If you're at that point in your life right now, let me just encourage you. Today is the day of salvation. We're here today because of that. We're here today as an essential to tell you that God loves you, that He gave Jesus for you, that He wants to give you eternal life with Him in glory. Folks, we can't even comprehend how awesome that's going to be. This is His gift to anyone who will believe. So you might want to pray. Pray to the only God there is. To a God that was not made by human hands. To a God who will not force Himself on anyone. Pray to the God of all. And say to Him, Dear Heavenly Father, today, I realize I need you. I need you. I can't do this on my own. I don't want to do this on my own. But I want to trust you today. I want to give you my life forever and forever. I want to make you Lord right now. And I want to begin walking in you. Please save me today. Thank you for saving me. If you would pray a prayer like that, you really mean it, then God will save you. He will receive you. He will bring you into His fold. And you'll be saved forever. That's God's word. I pray if anyone did that today, you'll let us know. Not so that we can hound you or anything, but so we can pray for you, so we can encourage you, so we can walk alongside of you, because you now are a brother or a sister, whoever you are. We want to help. We're not here to try to get your money. We're not here to try to make us be able to say we have more members than anybody else. We're here because we care. Because we have the love that God has given us. And if we have Him inside of us, we can't help but tell people about Him. That's why we're here. I just want to tell you, you have two choices. Give your life to God
or you'll ultimately have to give your life to the evil one. Thank you for tuning in today. Appreciate it.